ओम नमो ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट नंबर 7 of my specs, so I may have to be able to read well. Gopibhi sobito nrinyat Bhagavan balavat kvachit udgayita kvachin mugdhas tadvaso daru yantravat गोपीभिस्थोभितो नृण्यात् भगवान् बालवत् क्वचित् उदगायति क्वचिन्मुग्धस् तद्वासो दारुयन्त्रवात्। ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। द गोपीज वुड से, इफ यू डांस माय डियर कृष्णा, then I shall give you half a sweetmeat. By saying these words or by clapping their hands, all the gopis encourage Krishna in different ways. At such times, although he was the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, he would smile and dance according to their desire, as if he were a wooden doll in their hands. Sometimes he would sing very loudly at their bidding. In this way, Krishna came completely under the control of the gopis. Verse number 8. Sometimes Mother Yashoda and her gopi friends would tell Krishna, bring this article or bring that article. Sometimes they would order him to bring a wooden plank, wooden shoes, or a wooden measuring pot. And Krishna, when thus ordered by the mothers, would try to bring them. Sometimes, however, as if unable to raise these things, he would touch them and stand there. Just to invite the pleasure of his relatives, he would strike his body with his arms to show that he had sufficient strength. Text 9. To pure devotees throughout the world who could understand his activities, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, exhibited how much he can be subdued by his devotees, his servants. In this way, he increased the pleasure of the Vrajavasis by his childhood activities, proper by his divine grace Srila Prabhupada. That Krishna performed childhood activities to increase the pleasure of his devotees was another transcendental humor. He exhibited these activities not only to the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi, but also to others who were captivated by his external potency and opulence. Both the internal devotees who were simply absorbed in love of Krishna and the external devotees who were captivated by his unlimited potency were informed of Krishna's desire to be submissive to his servants. The most beautiful personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, loves butter. That is his favorite item for food. What does he love butter? Because butter is the essence of milk. Milk has to go through a process. Butter is already present in milk, but butter goes through a process of becoming first curd, and then it has to be churned, and the essence of that is butter. There are so many scriptures, all are like milk, which is the essence of dharma. The essence of the cow is mother. Prabhupada said, when we take Diksha, we accept Vedas as cow and Krishna as our father, right? Because the mother instructs us. So also, the milk of instruction of Krishna in the form of the mother is this milk of all these scriptures. And then as you keep on going through the process of purification, then you come to the process of butter, butterification of milk, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. But Krishna does not just love butter, he loves makhan with mishri. Where is the mishri? The 10th canto is the mishri on the butter. So, when the same Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like butter, the essence of the Vedic scriptures, the crystallized essence of all these instructions of Maharishi Vedvyas, when you add a sprinkle of mishri over that, it becomes very, 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 very tasty. Right? So this is what we're reading for the last several days, months, beginning from Krishna's advent till now. We have reached the 10th canto, 11th chapter, and we are simply overwhelmed, is it not? We're simply all overwhelmed by the beauty and sweetness of Sri Krishna. Maduram madhurye bhyopi, right? So Krishna is maduram, that whole song of Vallabhacharya, madurashtakam. So everything, gamanam maduram, hasya maduram, smita maduram, adharam maduram, everything about Krishna is what? He is the embodiment of all sweetness. His dham is the embodiment of all sweetness. His Brajbasi devotees are the embodiment of all sweetness. Everything about Brajbhumi, the residents there, the trees, the Yamuna, the peacocks, the monkeys, the leelas, everything is embellished by this beautiful sprinkle of unbelievable sweetness. One of the forests there also is called as Madhuvan, where Krishna also, who is himself so sweet, would like to go to taste madhu, sweetness. So when we hear, we are so fortunate and of course supremely blessed that Shukdev Goswami has spoken these things, and then his divine Krishna Prabhupada has re-spoken these things, and we are all trying to sort of re-speak and re-hear these beautiful leelas, which are so pictorially, beautifully depicted here in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we can almost visualize, Prabhupada said, these are the windows. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a window. The magazines, the newspapers, the novels are a window to the material world. Because you take a paper, you don't have to, even if you're sitting somewhere in the Eskimo planet, high up there in the North Pole, you read a paper, you know what's happening in the down there in New York or in Mumbai. It's a window to the material world, which is full of all the gory things happening here. Very abominable. Nothing sweet whatsoever. In fact, it's all mixed with so much of cruelty and hate and violence, enviousness. But then in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, which are the windows to a spiritual world, because it is on the basis of these words that these paintings have been made. And Prabhupada said the paintings are the windows of the spiritual world. But these paintings came from where? They came from this book. They are the depictions here. And they were put into canvas by empowered devotees under Prabhupada's direction. So these are the real windows to what is the spiritual world all about. Krishna, who has lifted Govardhan Hill, just a few years later is going to lift the Govardhan Hill. Finds him incapable himself to lifting a small wooden measuring pot. So this is looks like a little difficult, a wooden plank. But then he is not giving up, he has his ego. Krishna has his ego. And he's doing like this, you know, he is, say, I'm not so weak, but let me get, you know, maybe tone up my biceps and then I'll be able to lift up something. So he's showing these things to Krishna, to his devotees, and he's dancing. And even for his dance, he's getting bribed. Getting bribed by the gopis. Say, if you dance, only half, not in the full peda, only half you will get. And even for that half, Krishna will do anything for that half peda. Anything. Nothing is too much to get that half a peda from the hands of his beloved gopi friends. Who are his mothers, elderly gopis. So, when we think of wooden dolls, we think of Prabhupada, is it not? We think of Prabhupada automatically. This is the same mood which Prabhupada went into, which Krishna is going into. And for that, all devotees want to go into, ultimately. If Krishna wants to become a wooden doll, then do you want to become better than that? Do you want to become anything better than a wooden doll in the hands of Krishna? If he wants to become that and dance at the beck and call of his devotees, then why do we want to become anything better than a wooden doll in Krishna's hands? If Prabhupada wants to become a wooden doll in Krishna's hands, then why are we struggling to be something else? Right? So this is the essence of bhakti, to become a wooden doll in Krishna's hands. Nachao, nachao, Prabhu, nachao, sahi mate. Right? So, this beautiful leelas which we are, you know, hearing, reading, shows the absolute power. Not just power, power is power, but there is something called as absolute power. The absolute power is possessed by not Krishna. He is the absolute truth, but he doesn't have the absolute power still. That is most amazing. If he is absolute truth, nothing higher than Mata Parataram Nanyat Kinchita Siddhananjaya. It is nothing higher than Krishna, then he should have the ultimate of everything. The ultimate beauty, ultimate knowledge, ultimate strength, renunciation, everything, and ultimate power, ultimate control, everything should be with him. But you find here, unfortunately, when you read Bhagavatam, that Krishna is not in the topmost position here. He doesn't have absolute power. The absolute power has been delegated, transferred to his devotees. They have the power to control and subjugate even the absolute truth. That is the power of the Vrijvasis. What type of power is that? And when we enter, understand Krishna's power first. Now we may take this very cheap. Well, this is okay. Gopis, you know, they love Krishna, so love is the greatest power. You know, so what? But it's not like that. First, for that, we understand what is Krishna's power. And who the people he controls by his power? What is his absolute control over material existence? That dare not any blade of grass move without his sanction. That is his absolute power over material energy. Not a blade of grass has no independence whatsoever to move without Krishna's sanction. At the microscopic level, an electron cannot move without Krishna's sanction. Nothing can happen. Andantarasa paramanu chayantarastham. He has such exacting, absolute control that even the atom where he wants to be there and control, nothing left uncontrolled. Right from the Brahmanda planets, millions of them flying in the sky in outer space, and this huge galaxies, multiple galaxies, not just one galaxy. Hundreds of solar systems, millions of solar systems. and right to the microscopic level, even the atom, that is his control. Yamaraj is controlled. He controls death, which is the most powerful thing in the world. But who is controlling Yamaraj? Krishna. The sun has control over all life. All life is governed by the sun, is it not? There cannot be any life in the world without the sun. The sun is the cause of the rain. Without sun, there can be no rain. The sun, which we operates, the makes clouds from the oceans, and the clouds undergo what we call now as monsoon, low pressure areas. When low pressure takes place, then the clouds descend downwards, and then that low pressure creates some sort of changes in the molecular level at the in this sort of water vapor. So there is a liquefaction of the water vapor. Low pressure created, and it descends in the form of rain. Without sun, there can be no rain. Without rain, there cannot be any crops. Without crops, there cannot be any food. Without food, there is no life. So who has got control over all life? The sun. But who's controlling the sun? Yachakshurisha savita sakala grahanam raja samasa surmita ashethati yasyagnaya brahmati. Yasyagnaya. Agna. Agnaya. Under his jurisdiction, by his control, by his law and order, he said, brahmati kala chakro. He's mounting the wheel of time. The sunrise and sunset, we put our clocks according to the, but this is all controlled by the sun. The moments of time are controlled by. So what is the power of the sun? It is synonymous with Kala Purusha. Right? And that is controlled by this boy who is dancing like a wooden doll. It's bewildering, no? How can somebody be just dancing there for half sweetmeat, controlling the sun in the morning? Are you crazy? He's dancing there tatai, 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 like that. He's controlling the sun and the moon and the stars. So to understand Krishna's control, this is important, so that our understanding of, when we see Rebirth Srimad Bhagavatam and we see Krishna performing this amazingly simplistic, amazingly absolute, normal, childlike, human-like activities, there is this element of cautioning behavior in our minds to not take Krishna cheap. Hopefully, in the last 9 cantos, which we have all gone through together, we have understood the power of Krishna as Narsingadev. Who in the greatest daityas like Hiranyakashipu can be easily subdued just by his nails. One was controlling everybody. Hiranyakashipu was controlling everybody except Brahma, Sri Vishnu, and Maheshwar. Except 3 Trinity deities, our primal Trinity deities, all of them are controlled by Hiranyakashipu. That was his almost absolute control. He didn't get absolute control. He wanted to, but he's not absolute. So he couldn't. It's Jivatma. Jivatma can never become absolute. But in a Jivatma form, to go to that level of control, where even Narada and everybody is, just like sycophant saying, oh, you are great. Om Hiranyakashipu Naya Namaha. Right? That was his control. And how did the Lord kill him? By his nails. His vajra-like body was killed by his nails. So hopefully we have gone through all these cantos and our understanding has ripened to an extent where we are not going to take Krishna cheap. That is the greatest danger of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from professional speakers. That they don't go to this gradual process of evolution of consciousness. And they have these 7-day saptas or 10-day sub, whatever they call it. All these shastris and all these people who will just run through the 7 days and something here and there, some prahlad, some dhruva, here and there, something, and khatak. They are right there in the 10th canto talking about gopis and rasa-leela. It is poison. It is pure unalloyed poison. It will kill the devotee, the people who are hearing that. No purification will ever take place from such a... it is not even in a pious activity in one sense, because the person himself is not really a dedicated soul. He may be vomiting out poison of his consciousness through his words mixed with the words of Srimad Bhagavatam. He may be contaminating thousands and millions of people who are coming to hear his great oration with royal reverence. They're submissively hearing him while he's pouring out his poison. Amar Prabhupada was against this. Yes, there can be 7-day saptas, but there should be a bona fide devotee, a bona fide acharya, who is in a bona fide parampara. Even our devotees in ISKCON, you do that. But you know, they have gone through a training process from Srila Prabhupada and their followers, and then they give Srimad Bhagavatam classes based on the Shastra understanding of Guru and Sadhus. That is fine. But these professional non-people, when they speak Srimad Bhagavatam, beware. Why beware? Because they have not really going to give the audience the systematic training program of Gita and Bhagavad, and then take you to the level of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you say, oh, when Krishna is dancing with like a wooden doll, it is not a cheap thing. Huh? It would require a devotee to understand this. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yasmichas tatvataha. This tattva of Krishna's dancing as a wooden doll can only be understood by a devotee of the Lord. But as far as we are concerned, we are trying to be devotee of the Lord, so we can understand something of this, hopefully, little bit, very distantly, very remotely, we can understand something. And we just keep on wrangling some philosophy and maybe you understand something. But actual sakshatkar of this would require a completely non-envious heart. This pastimes can only settle down in our heart as a reality. When our heart is evacuated of every last molecular tinge of envy. The envious heart becomes impervious to Krishna's mercy. You can be surrounded by millions of saints and pure devotees, but if you are envious, nothing really will happen to you in that powerful association. So, we would like to develop a sense of reverential humility in our hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. Reverential humility. Nothing cheap. When His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada saw these small dolls coming from a duty-free shop in San Francisco of Lord Jagannath, I mean, they're not installed Jagannath or something like that. They're not Jagannath from Daru Brahman wood, you know. They're just dolls made from some wood, whatever wood. And they're sitting in front of his table and Prabhupada bows down to these wooden figures of Lord Jagannath with great humility. What does that mean? Reverential humility. And they, when he kidnapped those Krishna, Radha Krishna from that house of that our Indian person, what is his name? Agrawal or something? I don't know his name. You know his name? Yeah. This gentleman living in America, and he had this murtis which he wanted to sell Prabhupada. Imagine selling something to Prabhupada. When you know you can sell anything to Prabhupada. He's just going to take it for the dirt cheap price or free. Yeah? It's like Nimai Pandit and Kuloja Sridhar type, took away everything. So he just went to his house and, Tamalakesha Maharaj was there and Prabhupada said, yeah, just see, if they are there, how heavy they are, just check them out. And he was engaging in some good talk and aap kaise hain, kahan se aaye hain, kahan rehte hain, kya karte hain. And he was Prabhupada talking all sorts of things, making appear and like, oh, he's like a nice Indian friend of mine, Prabhupada said, dekho, just check out how. So then he said, they're not very heavy. Okay, so then damn, they walked out of the house. Radharani walked out of the house. They had the devotees and the car just zoomed off and said, yeah, we'll, yeah. Swamiji, yeah, you can come to our temple, yeah, something for us. And he eloped. He practically kidnapped Radha Krishna, right? There's no mood of paying any single naya paisa. What are you asking paisa for, are you doing business with Radha Krishna? Come on. And of course, when the car was going down the road, Prabhupada said, wait, halt. He opened the dikki. And then Prabhupada, reverential humility. There is a Nityasiddha Bhakta. We don't know Prabhupada's Nisiddha Deha there. What is he? Maybe one of those five rasas. We don't speculate into that. But whatever he is, we know he's the eternal associate of the Lord. But when he comes out of the dikki, what does he say? Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajam. They're offering beautiful prayers of Brahma Samhita. which are prayers of reverence and humility to Govinda. Nothing cheap. Nothing cheap. A great acharya like Ramanujacharya. What is the caliber of Ramanujacharya? What is the depth of his love for Ranganath Swami and Varadraj and, you know, Balaji? What is his caliber? He's Saktyavesh. He's Saktyavesh. I cannot walk on Tirupati Hill. What is that hill called? Sheshachal. What is that? Sheshadri. Huh? I cannot walk. How can I put my foot on this hill on which the Lord is, you know, residing? So the whole hill, which we all know, go now with either a bus or there are some several hundred thousand steps there, which is even the steps sound, you know, look like quite formidable when we went last time. You have to have your quadriceps really aching so bad before you really make it up to the hill. But at that time, when there was no bus and there was no steps, there was only forest and thickets and everything else, he knelt down and he walked by kneeling down. He would not put his foot, but he walked on his knees up the hill. Exceedingly powerful example of reverential humility. Huh? This is Acharya's behavior. They never took God cheap, because God is not cheap. It's we who are cheap. We want everything else cheap also. We want even God to be cheap. His bhakti to be cheap. His mercy to be cheap. Everything we want cheap. Huh? No. Reverential. So much reverence towards the Lord. Even when we are worshipping Radha Gopinath in our temple, Prabhupada instructed us, it is Lakshmi Narayan. That means they have to be going through the process of reverential timings. Today we were 45 seconds late. I'm sorry for that. But timing. Prabhupada said, deity worship means timing and punctuality and cleanliness. Two things. Oh, Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Darshan can take place at 11 in the night. What do you mean 11 in the night? Oh, Baki Behari also. Oh, Baki Behari is another thing. But ISKCON temple is 4:30, 5 o'clock, whatever it is, you know, 7:15, 7:45, whatever is the regulation. Sharp, it has to be there. Because they are Lakshmi and Narayan. That means a mood of, what is Lakshmi Narayan? That means a level mood of reverential humility, reverence and prayer. Right? Our entire day actually is, this humility factor is so important in our bhakti. There is no bhakti, for that matter, without humility. Bhakti without humility is a utopian idea. You may go up the ladder through any of the yoga processes. You may start with karma kanda, you may go on to karma yoga, or nishkarma karma yoga, the higher one. You may go to jnana yoga, the higher one. You may go to the ashtanga yoga, and you know, the 8 steps towards... All this is fine. But unless you add this element of bhakti, you can't enter the realm of actual devotion to the Lord. You get stuck at Ashtanga Yoga and all the benefits it brings, like mystic yoga and all that, calmness of the mind, equanimity and everything else. You get all that. Om Shanti and, you know, complete equanimous mind, undisturbed state of consciousness, all that is fine. Of course, it's very rare to get that also. But you may go up to that. But you can't enter the realm of absolute devotion till you add the element of bhakti. And to add the element of bhakti means you require addition of humility. Otherwise, Vishwamitra Muni can become very, very egoistic even after 60,000 years of tapasya. That is the fallacy of Ashtanga Yoga, very loud and clear. Without addition of humility, this extraordinary tapasya of 6,000 years can make you even more proud than when you were 6,000 years back. Before you started off with the whole thing. Why? Why is that? Because the basic sin of the spirit soul, the basic papa, is envy to Sri Krishna. That's why we have come here. And there's only one antidote to envy. That is humility. A poison In medical science, we have sometimes poison. People come with taking poisons and, you know, this and that to kill themselves. And we are, you know, we wonder, is there an antidote for this? And some poisons have antidote and we are able to save their lives. But sometimes they don't and then people die. Right? Snakes. The snakes have, you know, we have, luckily we have four snakes. We have, you know, there are four common poisonous snakes in India. There was ASV, anti-snake venom. So whenever you get a patient of snake poisoning, small snake, big snake, cobra, we don't even know what the snake is. You know, it bites and it goes away. Right? You don't know what it is. Three fangs, two fangs, you're just figuring out, you know, whether it's two fangs, three fangs. You don't know what, how many fangs have got into your skin. So whatever it is, three fangs, two fangs, give the ASV. Why? Because then you give just 8 ampules of ASV. Okay, you give that. Why? So it will counteract the effect of the poison. So every activity a jivatma performs in this world, every activity is contaminated with this poison of envy. Because that's sitting in your consciousness. And every activity requires consciousness to perform it. There is no activity without consciousness, right? Can there be activity without consciousness? No. Even breathing, whatever. Every activity requires consciousness. But if your consciousness is having envy within it, what comes out from every activity is envy. It smells of envy. Is it not? Your very existence is an existence of envy and defiance to the law of God. Yesterday, a few days back, a small magazine of a local politician came to our home. Some Bahujan party, something, I don't know what that is. So somebody said that the magazine was lying on my table. I said, what is this? It's opened. The first page on the left side, about myself. He's standing with a mic there in a big circle around him. About myself. You know, so I am so and so, so and so. There you are. The very first page. Envy. About my activities. Right side of the page. And then he's planting some trees and, you know, doing some medical camps and, you know, helping the women folk and doing some sports for the children and some school. About my activities. The whole magazine is ridden with that person's envy. That I am the God here. Look at all the good things I am doing here. See, you don't need a God. Just vote for me. And I will take care of your problems. You don't need a God. If you just worship me, and I will plant trees and then water supply in my ward. So, you know, you got some pipeline. Then building some construction as well, whatever. So he provided all the facilities. He said, you don't need a God. You need me actually, is it not? So why don't you just vote for me? The whole magazine is smelling of envy of the person. All these so-called superstars who people are talking about. Envy. They have taken the place of God. And there are millions of fan club, right, who are just, you know, thinking about them, getting crazy over their satatam smartavyam type of thing. You know, constantly thinking about them. So they have a horrible death many a times, because they have taken the position of God through their entertainment, through their screen activities. They have taken, and they have cheated so many people of the vitality of human life. So all these so-called superstars, they become dust. Ultimately, they become unto dust thou shalt returnest. They become dust. So what is the antidote to this poison of envy? It does not exist in any yoga process except process of bhakti. So when you add the antidote of humility, that goes and cancels out the envy. And then the Mahaushadhi starts working. What is the Mahaushadhi? Eniche Aushadhi Maya Nashi Baro Lagi Harina Mahamantra Lahutmi Magi. Every medicine requires an anupan, requires a carrier vehicle. In Ayurveda, there's a principle. You take Shitupaladi Churna or this Bhasma or something, you require some honey or some milk or some ghee. Everyone knows this, right? Why that ghee and why that honey is there? It actually cuts through all the barriers and makes the medicine active component reach at the cellular level where it's supposed to act. So it's a vehicle. It's a carrier molecule. Even allopathy, there are also carrier molecules. The molecule is there and the chemical is embedded within it. And the chemical which makes the way through all the barriers in the body, for example, there is a barrier in the brain called the brain blood-brain barrier. No medicine you just pump into the veins in an IV line will go into your brain. No, they won't. It's a blood-brain barrier. So then you have to create medicines which can actually go through the blood-brain barrier. It's not easy to enter, penetrate the brain. It's a protected area. God has made it like that for obvious reasons. Right? So in Ayurveda, you have to have this anupan, carrier molecule. Right? So what is a carrier molecule for the Mahaushadhi of Mahamantra? The carrier molecule, the carrier at, not molecule, the attribute which will make Mahamantra act on the consciousness is this humility. So anybody who chants Hare Krishna Mahamantra without humility will get completely contrary effect. He'll become very proud, very envious, very, very egoistic, very self-righteous. He will be just watering the weeds of his contaminated heart. It's already there in plenty. So he's putting powerful medicine for what to grow? The anarthas to grow. So the medicine actually goes in a different direction altogether. So for the medicine to really go in the right direction where it's supposed to work, you require this factor of humility. So the humility is so important in our culture. Spiritual life starts with humility and sort of it doesn't end. Spiritual life is eternal, it's sanatan. But even if you say end means Krishna Prem, it ends at humility. Tad vidhi pranipatena. First thing you require is pranipat. You cannot go to a guru with a chest, swelling big and a nose high in the air. You have to go with pranipat, absolute humility. He said, I'm a fool. Shishastevam sadhi mam tam prapannam. Right? Arjuna's humility is there. Please now instruct me what I'm supposed to do. What is Shreyas for me? Starts with humility and also goes like that. We would like to cultivate, as we are hearing these beautiful verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, our greater and greater element of this factor of humility. The more we hear Krishna becoming more and more sort of human-like, simplistic, very, very, childlike activities, the more we are actually being reverence towards Him. And is what kind of a God, what kind of a Krishna is this? Look at what level he can go. Now we are supposed to please Krishna. That's the swadharma of the soul, to please some siddhi hari toshanam. But and we go to any devotee go through any level to please Krishna, preaching in China, wherever, book distribution and difficult college preaching programs and all sorts of book distribution and freezing minus 20 degrees in Russia. Devotees are going to so many things to please Krishna. Well, so much difficulties they have taken. Going to jail for Krishna, no problem. So much. Taking torture for Krishna. Armenia, we know the story. Sodal bread. What they have gone to please Krishna. Right? But here we find to what extent Krishna goes to please his devotees. This is completely opposite happening here. Krishna goes to what extent to please his real devotees. Anything for his devotees. Anything. Driving a chariot, killing a demon, or dancing for them just to get a half piece of some mithai. Anything for devotees' pleasure. Right? So, the entry through the spiritual world is only when we develop this quality of humility. So, sadhana is important. But sadhana has to be in a proper attitude. Sadhana without humility, we can be having lots of slokas, lots of knowledge, but can become a Romarshan Sutta if he doesn't have humility. Very detrimental, right? So we want to tag, our sadhana bhakti at all times. The morning program, beginning from Samsara Dava, or the Prasadam prayer, or Guru Puja, everything is laden with loads and loads and loads of humility. Dino Krishna Dasa kahe Tulsi Maharani, oh, it may be a very song of intimacy, when will I be able to see you, when will I serve you, fine. That may be there, because Narottam Das Thakur is in a particular mood. But what the last line? Dina Krishna Dasako. It's Dina Krishna. Prayer of humility, Aha Prabhu Koro Doya. Right? Whole Guru Puja is a song of just pouring out of Thakur Narottam's humility towards Loknath Goswami. Humility is overflowing from his heart like anything. You are so great. Krishna Prapti Hoi. Only by your grace I can get Krishna. Prasadam prayers. What is the prasadam prayer? We chant a prasadam prayers. But of course we do it because we have to do it. The prasadam prayer is a prayer of humility. I am fallen in this ocean of neshines and the network of Maya, and all my senses are really dragging me more and more towards this network of Maya where I'm entangled. And this tongue is, no, of course, of all the senses, is most difficult for me to control. But you are so kind, my dear Lord. You give me this prasad of yours. Hopefully by taking that, senses will get purified. So every activity, whether it's Narsingha prayers or Tulsi Puja or Guru Puja, everything is actually an activity which has encompassed with this coating of humility. That is the only quality which attracts Krishna's attention. Like you have these antennas, right? Which attract various electromagnetic waves. They have this dish, whatever they call it, dish, TV. That attracts various electromagnetic radiations. So what is that particular attribute which attracts the radiation of Krishna's mercy in our heart? The antenna is made up of humility. Even when a simple flower is offered with humility, simple flower, not even a big thing, just some simple flower or fruit, and that goes with the humility, that the antenna of humility is sort of shining out of your consciousness, and it attracts powerfully the magnetic rays of Krishna's mercy. Krishna is attracted. Right? So, let us all relish to our heart content this Makhan Mishri pastimes of Krishna, which are so beautifully being depicted here, and pray that we keep on developing through our sincere efforts these qualities which will really make these pastimes truly an experience of the heart rather than just experience of our intellectual perceptions. So how much our spiritual masters have been stressing this humility factor time and again and again and again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, even though he's God, but in his way, he is Krishna himself, but how much reverence he has towards Krishna. When he goes to Jagannath Swami's temple or any temple, even goes to Lord in front of Lord Shiva, offers obeisances and prayers. When God comes in front of his own self in another form, he is full of humility. Right? Mahaprabhu would not walk on Govardhan Hill. He is Krishna. As Krishna had walked on Govardhan Hill and danced on it, but Mahaprabhu would not even go, you know, so close to Govardhan Hill. A reverential humility of the Lord himself, teaching us by his example. And so even if you are God, you won't walk on Govardhan Hill. God can go anywhere he wants, but he would not walk on Govardhan Hill. So this is offense, aparad. These things we want to, you know, appreciate deep in our hearts with this mature sense of humility. Not take it cheap. There is only one class of people who take things cheap, and they are called as sahajiyas. Either you are non-devotee, you are a devotee, but those are in between. The sahajiyas will take all this stuff very cheap. But we don't get into that trap of Maya. This is the absolute power of God manifesting through his devotees. Krishna does not keep with him the power to control, even though he is a controller. He transfers his power to control to the account books of his devotees, and then they become the most powerful controllers. So our life would like to be controlled by Krishna's devotees. Like our spiritual master, we would like to have our life also controlled by the will of Krishna's devotees. or our spiritual masters, our senior Vaishnavas, our beloved godbrothers and god sisters, they are actual controls of our life. So we live our life in a way which will be pleasing to them. And if our dear godbrothers and god sisters are pleased with us, our spiritual masters are pleased with us, then we are sure, we are 110% sure. Like, how do you know if Krishna is pleased? In one sense, you don't have to know Krishna is pleased. You just have to know that your devotees are pleased with you. And how are devotees going to be pleased with you? If you follow Guru's instruction properly, they'll be pleased with you. It's so simple. Just live according to the instructions of the spiritual master and the devotees are pleased. You don't want anything special. If they are pleased, Krishna is pleased. Everyone is pleased. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions and comments? So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai. Hare Krishna.